Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king, marching into battle, will not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciple. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. My name is Father Rudy Valenzuela. I'm a friar of the Sick Poor Los Angeles. I'm here to do the mission appeal today. And I want to thank Monsignor Connolly for allowing me the honor to preach today. Next time I will plan on it, not to come on this Sunday. I come from a little town, San Luis Rio, Colorado, Sonora, Mexico. Has a long name, San Luis Rio, Colorado, Sonora, Mexico. We know it by its nickname, Hell. It's one of the hottest places on earth. During June, July, August, and September, our temperatures can reach up to 125, 130 degrees. The other day, I was coming to LA, and it was 110 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning. So you can imagine. I'm sad to tell you that I come from hell. Sadder to tell you that I'm going back to it. San Luis is also one of the most violent cities in Mexico right now. The fight between two drug cartels, a cartel from Michoacán and the cartel from Sinaloa, is happening right in the city for about 3 years now. And the violent killings have increased enormously during the last 3 years. About a month ago, I went to the cemetery to bury 200 unclaimed bodies. It was one of the saddest moments in my life to bury these men and women whom we didn't know who they were and we will never know. In the month of August, 44 people got killed. So I ask you to please pray for us as we go through this difficult time in Mexico. In San Luis, I am the pastor of Holy Spirit Church, and I'm also the director of Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe, healthcare clinic that takes care of the poor, for which I'm doing today the mission appeal. Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe serves over 30,000 patients a year. We charge the equivalent of about $5 or free if the patient or the family cannot pay for their care. Because our mission at Clinica Santa Maria is not just to deliver health care. Our mission there is a mission of the church. And the mission of the church, my dear brothers and sisters, is this, is to be the healing presence of Christ among the poor. Christ is among us, but he's also among the poor. By the presence of missionaries like me, thousands of us, priests, religious sisters, lay people who are sent forth to announce the gospel, and to heal the sick. At Clinica Santa Maria de Guadalupe, we have physicians and nurses and dentists. We have a pharmacy and a lab. Last year, we were able to acquire an X-ray machine thanks to the mission appeal. And this year, we hope to get an ultrasound machine. Because your generosity makes miracles in mission countries. Just think of this. $20 of your generosity help us take care of one patient for a whole year. $20 of your generosity make us allow us to take care of one patient for a whole year. With $50, look, we give sight to the blind. With $100, we raise the dead from their tombs. I want to thank you in advance for your generosity. In your pews, you will find an envelope like this. You can take it home, bring it next week, make it to Holy Family Church, write mission appeal, and Father Ricky will eventually send it to the mission office, and it will eventually get to us. So in advance, I want to thank you for that, because I want to end the mission appeal right here, because I want to talk to you about the readings today. Not the easiest of readings in the gospel, especially. That's why Monsignor Connolly is so happy that he doesn't have to preach today, even though I know, Monsignor Connolly, you're an excellent preacher. Thank you for that. The Gospel of Luke, my dear brothers and sisters, contains one of the most demanding declarations attributed to Jesus in the gospel. He's concluding a statement, "None of you can be my disciples unless he or she gives up all possessions," is probably the most extreme statement on renunciation of wealth in the Gospel of Luke. What Jesus is doing in the gospel to his disciples and to us is that he foresees that those who follow him will eventually become caught up in the suffering and death and dispossessing that he sees to lie ahead of him. So he is advising them. He warns them about the possibility of the same destiny that he has. That's why he uses that strong language about hating one's father or mother. In today's gospel, Jesus invites us to imbibe his spirit of commitment and sacrifice in order to be his true disciples. He says, "If any man comes to me without hating his father, mother, wife, his own life too, he cannot be my disciple." What does he mean by hating? First of all, he teaches us and calls us to practice sacrificial love, which is the same as Christian love, which is the only way we must love. We must set this kind of language in the time and the culture of Jesus, because it's not a matter of hating anyone. Semitic languages like the one that Jesus spoke, by large, did not have a word for prefer. When a person prefers one thing over another, he or she is said to love one, that thing prefer, and hate the other. Hate, then, in this sense, is simply an expression of rejecting something, something possibly good, in order to love the other. Those who adopt Jesus' mission, his commitment, his way of life, will inevitably cause some pain and suffering to their loved ones, who perhaps have other plans for them. And I remember this happened to me when I was about 19 years old. I remember coming home from a retreat, from a youth retreat, and telling my mother that I wanted to go to the seminary. She cried. She suffered. She stopped talking to me for a whole month. And I was torn. I didn't know what to do. But in spite of that suffering, I had to hate my mother. That is, I had to prefer following Jesus than following my mother, knowing that my decision had caused her a lot of pain. And look at me. I'm here now after 40 years. And don't worry about my mother. She's doing really well. She loves being the mother of the priest. So, despite all these semantic explication, Jesus' words continue to be very strong. And the first thing you say, why is he so strong with these words? And I think he's strong about it because he lives by them. He's talking about himself. He must be committed. He must be determined. He's going to have to walk up Calvary and be crucified and die for us all alone. He came to save the world, and he came to save it through pain and sorrow, rejection, and everything else that his disciples will be afraid of and will never want to commit to. So he's teaching them, you have to hate that in order to love me. I think that we are always looking for Jesus, and the disciples were too. They love to eat with him. They love when he multiplied the bread. They love when he healed the sick and gave sight to the blind. And we do the same. We're always thinking that to follow Jesus, it means that we get the good stuff. You see, because he's full of love and caring, and that is true. But he's also looking for something else in us, his disciples. He's looking for resolution. He is looking for detachment from everything. He is looking for total and complete commitment to his life. Because he's going to go through this, and he will rise again, and he will save the world through his sacrifice of great love. And he's teaching us to do the same. But what saves the world is that he comes among us and he asks us to make the same commitment, total detachment, so we can follow him. Commitment is very important. And even when you get tired, when you get angry, when you are frustrated, there comes a time in your life when you must take your commitment seriously. Especially when you feel the darkness is all around you, when you have difficulties in your marriage and your relationship at work. Faith gets stronger when we go through difficulties. Our faith doesn't just come from that faith that our parents gave us. It comes from going through difficulties and knowing that Jesus is walking with us. And so Jesus is saying to us, whatever stands in your way, following me as we walk together for a great cause to bring God's love and forgiveness to the whole world, we are doing it together. But you must commit to it. You must commit your heart and you must commit your soul. I give you my life, you give me yours. I give you without counting the cost, you give me yours without counting the cost. I give you my life to teach you how to love as I love. You give me your life to receive my love and bring it to others. I begin a mission and you continue it. But in the continuing of it, I will never, never be far from you. I will be with you all days, even to the end of the world. And basically, That's marriage. It's a commitment. And that's what he's talking about. For you see, when two people get married in the Catholic Church, they give their lives entirely to each other, to love, to respect, to be faithful in good times and bad times, for richer or poorer, in health and in sickness, all the days of their lives, until death do them apart. And this is what Jesus is talking about, sacrificial love, to be committed, to hate anything that interferes with our love for him and for our neighbor. Commitment means this. In marriage, two people are asked to give themselves to each other in marriage, for better or for worse, for richer or poorer, until death do them apart. It means I give my life to you with all the possibilities, with all the dreams, with all the hopes, with all the pain and trouble and misunderstandings and all the rest of it. But I give myself to you entirely because I love you. So spouses must hate everything else that may interfere with their love and their commitment. Sin, greed, envy, anger. The husband must hate, that is, not prefer his job over his wife. And the wife must hate, that is, not prefer her children or friends over her husband. And I acknowledge that this is a difficult thing to listen to, because we may be used to doing exactly that. But commitment means that even when the worst times come, I will say, I love you. And I tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, we are called to opt for preferring Jesus, even if that means not preferring those who love us. For when we opt for Jesus, we also opt for loving our neighbor. Those who are sitting next to us today, those who are home, those who are strangers to us, the poor, the sick, the homeless, the migrants. So, listening to the voice of Jesus today, let us ask God, our most merciful Father, in this Eucharist, that we may have the courage to follow him, even if that means not preferring our own mother or father.
I want you to know that among us, you are a brother. We have a great indebtedness to Mexico, especially in this part of the world and in the life of our church. So whatever we can do to give back to Mexico some small measure of what Mexico has given to us, and surely, especially in this part of the world, we must have a special hospitality for all people who come here from Mexico seeking a new life. So thank you very much, Father Rudy, and you're very welcome.